The following shiur is being recorded for TorahDownloads.com, a project of the Yehuda Mann Foundation, Le'ilui Nishmas Yehuda Aryeh ben Yoshua Yakir.
It'll be Mitzarefet, I guess. If you know. It's right?
Yeah.
It's starting all over again?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have here the Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, three lines. It says that Eliyahu came and he said, Chazali Sifri Dada Marishan, Uksiv Beit says, Shmuel Yachinoi Chachim Yiskari, Vrebele Yiskari, Ve'asu de Rebbe Yodate, Rebbe Vreb Nosan Saif Mishnah, Rebbe and Reb Nosan are the end of Mishnayos. They are Tanoim. These are the last Tanoim. Ravashi v'Ravina soif hayra. Ravashi and Ravina are the end of hayra. V'simonach ad ovel mikdoshe keil avina lachrisam, which is a remez on the words. So Ravina of Ravashi is soif hayra. And Rashi explains here they were the ones who put together the Gemara the way it was put together and so on, and that they were the editors, so to speak, they were the finalizers of it. The implication is that after that there is nothing else that can that counts as Hira. Let's take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam in his Akdama to Mishneh Torah, It's Akdama that in a certain sense is telling us Kol HaTorah Kula. He's explaining, he repeats a bit of what he said in Mishneh Torah, that Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah and its Pirusha. He goes through the whole Mesoras until Rav Ashi and Ravina, and then traces it back that from Rav Ashi and Ravina to Moshe Rabbeinu is 40 generations. And he says, Ravina Rav Ashi heim soif chachme Gemara. Rav Ashi is the one who made the Gemara Bavlis. Rav Yochanan made the Gemara Yerushalmis. And then he says that there are also things that there were gzeiras that were nigzar that are included. Hakol chibe Rav Ashi b'Gemara Moishad Yomov. And this was all included in Talmud Bavli. Nimtza, Ravina Vashi Chavrehem, Soif Gedoile Chachme Yisrael Matik Tosh Balpeh. The last generation that actually carried over Tosh Balpeh, Veshegozu Gzeh Zetkina Takonis Nigman Hugus, is Ravina Vashi. And then he adds a line. Upashtog zeirosam v'takanosam u'minagoysam b'chol Yisrael b'chol mekom asher seihem. And it spread to all of Klal Yisrael. V'acha bezen shel Rav Ashi, shechiba gemara, v'gomru b'mei b'noi, after that, nisparzu Yisrael b'chol ha'aretz pizus yeser, Klal Yisrael became spread out in a terrible way, v'nismaya Talmud Torah, v'lichus Yisrael u'mishu seihem, alofim rosh v'shev v'koydim, they did not learn in the way they lived, the way they learned before, with that tremendous gathering and interaction between Walter and Israel. Miskapsin Yechidna Sinus and Kerhod Irvir. They would go as Yechidim in every place, there'd be a few people sitting and learning. The Chol Bezen Sha'omad Acha Gemar B'chom Dino Medina V'goza Yehiskid O'Hinig B'im Dosev Neb Nils Rabbis Lo'posh to my soul. Any Bezden that came after the Gemara, it was not a trans-global bezin where all Klal Yisrael was included. It was local only. Being that bezin of every place is an individual, and the bezin agol of shivim ve'echad is not around anymore. Lefikach ein kofin anshe bezin azul linot v'nacheres. So no bezin can force other people to go like it. V'chein, he says, if one of the Goinim learned from Svara and a different one And a different Goyen held differently. He goes with his own, and we don't go with the other ones. And then he says, these are all things that are no geya to dinim exerish nakonis of his chadish achachiva gemara. Abul kolat vorim should be gemara bavli, but anything that's written in the gemara, chayovim kol yisrael alechas behem, everybody in Yisrael is mechuyev to follow. The koyfim kol ir ve'ir ve'kol dinim dinim liv kol and hagish nakach me gemara v'liv zehasen lekasehem. Everybody in Yisrael is mechuyev to do whatever it says in the gemara. Hoil. V'chol osam advarim shebegemara hiskim aleim kol Yisrael, because these are things that everybody in Kassel was maskim. V'osam chacham shiskina shegadz shdigar shedana din v'lom da mishpat kachu heim kol chachme Yisrael orubam, and the people who made these takanis are all of Kassel or the majority of Kassel. V'heim sheshamu Hakabola beikra Torah kulon kula dorach hadad Moshe Rabbeinu, and they all heard it dorach hadad Moshe Rabbeinu, and any people who came after Chibag Mor, they're called Geonim, and these Geonim sat and learned the Gemara, and they tried to understand the Gemara, and so on. So the Rambam is explaining that. What is his sefer resting on? And he explains it is resting on the Gemara, because that obligates everyone else. Occasionally he brings Piskei HaGaonim, and when he does bring Piskei HaGaonim, he writes it very clearly that it's a kilu, an opinion, and so on and so forth. But the Rambam is not clear in why is it that the Talmud Bavli is binding. There are two threads of thought that seem to pass through the Rambam's words. One is that it's kol chachmei Yisrael erubam, and this is a shita which is not dissimilar from the Rambam himself in the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin, when the Rambam addresses how is it that we're going to have a Sanhedrin again, when you need musmachim, and that's it. Smich has been over for a long, long time. What are we going to do? So the Rambam says, you royally, that if all Chachmei Yisrael got together, you would be able to start the smicha process again. So it seems that the Rambam's understanding is that Kol Chachmei Yisrael is really in the big picture. Kol Chachmei Yisrael is the repository of Torah Shebaal Peh in the way that we spoke about Bezna Gadol. Bezna Gadol is a substitute for Kol Chachmei Yisrael. In other words, you don't want to have a massive convention of 12,000 Talmidei Rav Akiva. It's not. It's very, very impractical to run a nation like that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you can choose Ayin Aleph for going to sit in Lishkas HaGazis, and they are, so to speak, the essence of the essence. In other words, you've distilled the Chochmas Yisrael into these Ayin Aleph. That's kind of the Mahalach, that's what seems to be the thread in the Rambam's words, sign understanding how we start the process Smich again, and over here also. So that's one way of looking at it. The second way of looking at it is, and that's the beginning of the Rambam's words, that each and every Bezdin is, in other words, a local Bezdin is binding, and the sense you get from the Rambam is that it's binding because it's a Kabbalah that they will make Kabbal on themselves to accept it. In other words, you can be Mekabal upon yourself a posik. Either it's Megidrei Nedarim, kind of, or some of the Nosekelim, some of the Mefarshim in Sefer Mitzvahs explain that it falls under the rubric of Hashefet Hasheyia Hashilcha B'yom HaHeim, meaning your personal shofet. So when you have a Bezna Vayin Aleph, the Bezn of Ayin Aleph is the show fate of Klal Yisrael by fear. This is it. This is the way it's got to be. If not, each and every person accepts upon himself a show fate, and just like making dinim is a chiyuv in the world of Ben Noach, certainly Klal Yisrael has a chiyuv, and therefore the person that I've made into my rav, into my rav, is binding upon me. And the Mela, since all of Klal Yisrael accepted the Talmud, that's become their rav and is binding. Those, so there are two general senses of what is it that makes Talmud Bavli binding on us. One is because Kol Chachmei Yisrael, which this was, it was the gathering of Kol Chachmei Yisrael together, is the key point to it, and therefore it has a din of Bezn HaGadol, or it's because this is the last, this was, it's binding like a Morad Asra, except the last Morad Asra that Klal Yisrael had on themselves as a klal is the Bavli. After that, it became the Rav in Fez, and the Rav in Iraq, and the Rav in Cairo, and the Rav in Cordova. It splintered off. Those are two basic mehalchim in understanding how Talmud Bavli is binding. Let's also that's in the Rambam's Hakdama. The Rabbi Chanan, when he discusses over here the this is what he discussed in Siman Beis over here. He starts off with the Margarita Tava, which he feels is right, and he says, over there he speaks about, is there an Issa D'Oraisa or not? How binding is Loisasser on later Takonis and on Haggis? In other words, would the Loisasser actively include the Doros later that Paskind, including things that we have from the Talmud Bavli and so on? And that's his mayor on that. He also brings a Kesef Mishnah, in a very famous Kesef Mishnah in the third parak in Halachas Mamrim, and the Kesef Mishnah asks, the Rambam Shita is that one Sanhedrin can argue on the other Sanhedrin even if they're smaller. So he asks, in Kena Marle Pligia Meiroya Tanoi, why in the Gemara don't you have a Meiroyim arguing on Tanoi? Whenever we come along and we ask a Kasha, Eisvei, Meisvei, Behatnan, and he must say Tufta, why doesn't the Mura just say politely, you know, Kolakavod, I just argue on him? Because there's no restriction within Bezin to Bezin arguing, so why couldn't they argue? So the Kesef Mishnah says, Ve'ef Shaloma, Shemiyom Chasimus HaMishnah, Kimu Ve'kiblu, Shedoros HaChronim, Lo Yachliku Adoros HaShayim. That from the Chasimus HaMishnah, we've accepted on ourselves that we will not argue on them. V'chein also ganke b'chasimus ha-gemara, shem yom shenechtimo, l'nitim reshus, l'shem adam nachlak alav, akam shalak ez ha-mishnah. So the Kesef Mishnah says that it's has much to do with our Kabbalah and ourselves rather than any objective halacha that precludes it. He asks over here, how does that work? He doesn't really have any terrors. He's actually trying to answer the Rambam and so on. But it does actually fit the second model, that it was because of the Kabbalah that we makabal on ourselves and so on. The Kabbalah we makabal on ourselves might fall under a get of a neder, like it says in Gemara Nedarim, Mokum Shenoagu to be Machmir. It seems as if it goes Megidin Nedarim, it might be from something else. The Chazon Ish has on this, and like I said before, the Chazon Ish is unique in his Hekev of Torah. The Chazon Ish is someone that all of Torah was something that he needed to be makif, and every piece was important. Every piece. There are no sugyas that the Chazon Ish didn't put his full effort into. We spoke about it last time about the Seder HaKabbalah, two times ago, where the Chazon Ish sees it as a very important sugya and actually goes through it. The Chazon Ish's lashon is a something which it's deceivingly easy, and that's why you have to go through it word for word. It's a Chazon Ish on the Rambam and Hilchos Mamrim, and he says the following. The generation after the Mishnah saw how small we are compared to our Mishnah. And they knew that the emes is with the previous ones. In other words, they recognized the gap between what they understand and what the previous ones understood. When they came to the realization that they will never get to the point of understanding that a Tana does, once in the Sedef, they were not allowed to be cholik. So they would take the Tanoim they said before and take that as the final word. They were choker and doresh what it meant. V'gam machtimei ha-talmid. And the editor of the Talmud, Rav Ashi, would, you know, he was the one who usually wrote the Tiufta. They would say that it's a definitive pircha if a Tana said differently. V'rak Rav berochav levovo l'nispat l'dvarav. Rav was somebody. It says Rav Tanu Polig means he is big enough to be cholik. Parenthetical mark, just like the Goyen sometimes says things, not like Rishonim Shagas Arya, V'cholat k'moseim hoye bashkochas aboreus baruch ubafoas ruach hakodesh. Upor hiskim hakadosh baruch hal yodon kidomu bo metzia perikvav ma'alt rebri of Nosson Seif Mishnah chenev dosh chesim sa Talmud. So this was an emes acknowledged hakadosh baruch hu. V'chein omer avinu v'ravashi seif eiroa. Mashikosav moron shekiblu kain, what the Kesef Mishnah wrote that it was a Kabbalah, he disagrees. The Kabbalah is not the pshat, you know what, they got together and they said, let's make a great takana. We're not going to argue on previous ones. It wasn't like a lefnim eshor hadin Kabbalah. It's like it was a recognition of the truth, an acknowledgement of the clear truth, rather than a kind of tzitkis. The lashon is beautiful. Loy tov v'chesed as on shenem zal. They weren't coming b'toras tov and chesed. Ah, wouldn't it be wonderful takana? We wouldn't argue shenem. Ela emes chiyavaisam. V'koyon ois negor shenem zal. That's how we deal with rishonim. We deal with rishonim. U'be'emos ekol ha'toras b'sinai nitafel ma'shalom v'asir ose chadish. V'atanoim echziru ma'she nishkach. V'adman rebi l'nizgal ha'kol. So the Tanoim were basically recovering the lost Torah Shabbal Peh. That is the way the Chazon Ish deals with it. So Chazon Ish is really, really saying a chiddush. Chazon Ish is saying that it was not an objective, there was no objective halakhic reason as such, but rather it was something which was very embedded in, it was a recognition of the emes and so on. So we have kind of a third shita here about what's the yachas? And the answer is it came from a recognition that the dor had moved on and it's no longer relevant to argue with Tanoim. We just don't have that. We're of a whole different caliber, and there was an extra sense that felt that way. I want to pause a minute and discuss a point here. So we have three shitas basically as to what is the strength of the Gemara. One is the what appears to be the Rambam, that it's Me'ikra Din, that Kol Chachmei Yisrael has a Din of Bezna Gadol. We have a Kesef Mishnah which sounds as if it was a Kabbalah and it works either Megidre Neder or Megidre, if you Mekabel something yourself, then it has a Din of Ashofet Hashem Yom Ha'im. And then we have the Chazon Ish who says it's a recognition of the greatness and so on. I want to stop a minute and discuss this point. In the framework of these shiurim, we're kind of discussing things very logically, and we're a lot more comfortable with having things that are cut and dried, and this is what it says, and so on and so forth. I guess if I needed to make a big picture out of it, it would be kind of the modern Orthodox world against the quote-unquote yeshiva world, whereas vague hashkafas and shitas and ruach, you know, what does the halachic system say, what does it mandate, what are the laws, and so on and so forth, and, you know, and sort of sweep away the cobwebs and just stick to the nuts and bolts. So I could sit down and very calmly do the following. I have three shitas here. Nothing binds me to the Rambam, because Rambam himself is not clear. I can pick the Chazon Ish. There's no reason halacha I can't argue on the Chazon Ish. And presto, I hold not like him, and I can argue on Chachmei Gemara. And how are you going to label me an Epicurus? I hold that there is halachically no problem with arguing on the Gemara. I hold like the Chazon Ish. If you make me an Epicurus, the Chazon Ish comes with me. The Chazon Ish says that we are removed from the Tanoim and Amoraim. The Amoraim were removed from Tanoim, so we certainly. I can first of all say, well, in this point I disagree with Chazon Ish. That's not the point, I can disagree with Chazon Ish. Plenty of Poskim today disagree with Chazon Ish, not a problem. So I can disagree with Chazon Ish in this point. So that puts me smack into the middle of being able to argue with the Gemara, no problem. In general, it says that one of the Memchas Svarim, Shatar Nixvim, is Emunas Chachamim. And unfortunately, people have given it the wrong hezbo, Emunas Chachamim. Today, the word Emunas Chachamim seems to imply that Rabbanim are politically savvy, they know about medicine and business and so on and so forth. It may or may not be true. It's got nothing to do with Emunas Chachamim. That's not what Emunas Chachamim is. And it's on that one says, Emunas Chachamim is, look at all the Mefarshim Pegavis, the profound belief that the integrity and the emes of the Chachamim that have passed the Torah down to us is above reproach. Because at the end of the day, there's no such thing, everything depends on people. If somebody sits down and proves to me with 1,001 proofs, whatever it is, and I have a feeling that this person is a used car salesman, not by profession, by nefesh, then I will listen and say, this guy's got a sharp tongue. He's glib. I mean, he could sell you his mother. I would not buy it because I don't trust the person. So if the expenditure is $5.99 for something that'll, who knows what, $5.99 I'll spend for it. If the person wants something for $500, I would not buy it because I don't trust the person. There are no such thing as foolproof systems because at the end of the day, everything rests on a mesoros. On a mesoros in the sense, I need to feel that the people who taught me were as honest and as sincere and as emes as could be. And true, every person messes up somewhere, every person makes a mistake, but the general body of the people that I learned from were anshe emes and did the best to preserve the internal emes of what they're passing on. The evaluation of whether Tanoim are super, super Yoidei Torah or very wise men living in Mesopotamia and today we're much smarter, that depends on the feel that I get from the previous generations and the general ruach that comes down. If I don't trust it, then nothing stands. Because the Talmud itself. There is somebody who sort of straddles on the borderline of orthodoxy, a brilliant academician who's already retired, who spent his life work trying to figure out the real Torah Shebaal Peh. In other words, his attitude and approach is that the Chachmei HaGemara, with the editors, were very, very fine people. They didn't always understand the step before them, so his life is spent on splitting apart the Gemara and its components. And it is true that the Gemara consists of original statements and an edited version. I mean, Rav Yonah Ravashi edited the Gemara. They took the arguments, they took down the arguments that they felt were the important ones, and when they said it's Tufta, they felt that the Rayas were Mafrichit. So one could sit down and say, Rav Yonah Ravashi were great people, but I am going to undo their argument. And they may have made two or three mistakes, not a problem. So, and again, technically, it's very hard to nail somebody technically. He holds like the Chazon Ish. I mean, listen, the Chazon Ish is you're holding the Chazon Ish as a hostage. If you're an apikoros, Chazon Ish is an apikoros. So a person can undo Shas that way. There is no sense of real, solid Torah that's immutable. And that is, and the people, the vast majority of people engaged in the hide-and-seek game of, says who, but it's a different opinion, are of that sense. Let's take some of the places it applies to us. And the Rishonim came in many flavors and many stripes. And you have Rishonim that today we see them as our avos and learning. We have Rishonim that had an atiyah to philosophy. We had Rishonim, and again, Rishonim, I mean people lived in Kufus Rishonim, who had an atiyah for strange things. And then we had Rishonim, quote-unquote, meaning people left Kufa, that their shittas are borderline, would appear to be borderline acceptable. If we challenge and say, somebody comes up to me and says, who says that the Rambam was the greatest? I mean, Rambam was very smart. I think so-and-so was greater. Who says that Ramban is the one that his Torah is the kind of golden mean and the standard? Maybe it's Kaspi, maybe it's Abu Lafia, and so on. The honest answer is, there is no way to prove it absolutely. I mean, Arishus Nitalachlok. But if a person is honest with himself, it's two things. If Torah is to have any meaning, I need to rely on people. I wasn't there at Sinai, but my Rebbe was, and my Rebbe wasn't there, but his Rebbe was. His Rebbe wasn't, but his Rebbe was. The people I look, reflect back as Rebbeim, my confidence lies with the people that I feel have the wisdom and integrity that I need to trust them. I need to trust somebody in the world. And I need to do it in a way that, and I pick the people that I say, these are models of what I think Torah is about. These are models of wisdom and integrity. That's all I can do. And there are no one people anymore like that, but it's the collective body. I look at a collective body of people and I say, between everybody, this is where it's at. So Torah Shebaal Peh remains to this very day a Torah Shebaal Peh. Even though we have Gemaras and I'm sitting in front of a computer that has 40,000 Sfarim there and still photocopying Sfarim and everything, at the end of the day, to make a decision about which one of these Sfarim is the default and which one needs to be taken account, and which one is a curio, and which one is best shoved aside, I depend on people. I depend on an intangible mesoris. When a person comes along and tampers with that, then my question to him is, fine, what is your absolute immutable standard? If the answer is nothing, then if anything goes, then basically we have no Torah again. What's the difference if we start with believing the Gemara, but then saying I can learn anything I want into the Gemara, or I believe in the Torah and I can learn anything I want into the Torah, or I believe in goodness and I can find things goodness? If there's no brick wall that stops me, then in a certain sense we've destroyed any sense of it. So Baal Korchach, Torah Shabbat Peh, needs to rely on a certain sense that was handed on. Has it changed? In some ways, yes, in some ways not. Anyone with honest eyes who learns the Moshe Tshuvas of Rishonim and their attitude towards things and Tshuvas of Achayim Kubel, there is a unity. Circumstances have changed, things have changed. Honestly, it would be very hard to put put different shitas into the ruach of Rishonim and Achronim and so on and so forth. Are there been mavericks, different people, different offshoots? Yes. But the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we said, at the end of the day, it's between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a person needs to ask himself, when I question a certain point, am I questioning it out of honesty because I have a whole different picture and I see it? I also have to ask myself, if I'm alone amongst a thousand other people, let's say, when I get mailings, like I'm sure everybody else gets, of hundreds of pages of trash mail. And a nusach goes like this: what all the great investment houses don't know, I've discovered the secret of how to invest, make 80% a year, and not pay any taxes on it. Or what all the doctors refuse to acknowledge, Dr. Casey Jones has the magic cure for, from arthritis down to xerophthalmia, he's got every cure. And so some people, whenever they get that type of mailing, this is really what talks to them. Of course, I knew it all along. I knew it all along that someone's got that great secret. I always wondered why the guy who's made $50 million with his great system wants $17.38 from me for a book of his. If I had that money, I wouldn't write any books, and I wouldn't send any mailings. I'd go off to the beach and I wouldn't even do the shurim here. Why does the person do it for? But some people like that. A healthy person, a rational person says, I'm sure there are dishonest doctors, but all the doctors and all the pharmaceutical companies are stupid and dishonest. And this one guy is the great man. All of the accountants and lawyers are stupid and dishonest. This one person is out there. You question yourself. It's something, it's a healthy sense. The first thing is a sense of humility. Torah is bigger than me, and Torah came out with a Mesoris. And we have a Mesoris from people, I knew people that I stood in awe from. I knew Rav Moshe Feinstein, Chaim Vracha. I certainly wasn't in a position to appreciate his Torah at the time, but I did hear Shiurim, I would come in as Manim, and there was a Yamagadol. I saw the Kedusha on the person, the humility, the Ish Moshe, Anim Kolam. Really, you saw a sense of Shechina, you saw a sense of otherworldliness. To me, that Surah is the Surah that I can relate to in its big sense, and so on. So at the end of the day, we're not going to have anything that is ironclad, because by definition, who's doing the ironcladding? Till the Bez Nagadol, we have it. From the Bez Nagadol, we need to look at the big picture and be honest with ourselves. That is the point. The point we were trying to make today was to try to take Torah from Bez Nagadol to today and figure out what's binding, especially Talmud Chesimus HaTalmud. We have a short binding Gemara by Metzila Peivav, and then we have the Rambam in his Akdama to the Sefer, which is really the strong marker for it. We have the Kesef of Mishnah, and which has roots in the Rambam itself, and then we have the Chazon Ish, who very adamantly insists that it is all recognition, and therefore you could have the overlapping. Rav could argue. I just want to show one more thing. How the muscle, the Chazon Ish, it puts kasha into a statement without saying it. He says, like, very in his poetic way, "V'rak Rav v'rochav levovol v'nisbat advarv." He's coming with a point. He's saying, Rabbeisai, if you hold that it's an absolute halacha, what does it mean, Rav Tano Polit? Either he's a Rav, or he's a Tano, he's not a Tano. How do you make an exception? Mela, if you say that it's because of an acknowledgement of what's right and what's not right, that makes sense. But just because he's Rechav Levava, that couldn't affect a halacha. So the Rambam, so that's why, I mean, Chaznishin is words. He doesn't go through the Shaktai, he just says it. Al-Gapanim is where the Chaznishin. At the end of the day, Emunas Chachamim, the only real meaning for Emunas Chachamim is the trust and the faith that we have that Torah goes through big people, the people that we know that gave us Torah, that we choose to be Rebbeim on a personal level, on a level of Ummah, and did their best, and they were giants to keep this, to keep it as in the integrity of Torah as much as possible. We acknowledge our own small limits, and we make clear limits about at what point will we argue, at what point not. Yeah. So I guess you can combine the two.